Let's get back to the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to the Baum Show on TalkZone.com. After all the years that I've spent in terrestrial radio doing talk, I never cease to be amazed at how the growing popularity in Internet talk radio is. For example, in hardly any time at all since we started the show, a few weeks ago, 60 countries, over 1,600 cities worldwide, and we thank you for that, and also thank you for your input via email as listeners or as callers at 1-888-463-6748. If you're listening internationally and you want to call, our number is 011-847-470-0937. Talking with your kids about sex, our guest is Dr. John Sherban, the author of What's Love Got to Do With It, talking with your kids about sex. Doctor, before we get to the phones, what I found fascinating about the book, among other things, was the issue about giving honest answers to the most difficult questions, which is really at the bane of most conversations involving sexual education to your kids. Going public with privates, and the quote from Somerset Maugham, "There is hardly anyone whose sexual life, if it were broadcast, could not fill the world at large with surprise and horror." Want to comment on that?
Things that are private, you know, and I think that sexuality brings out, brings private matters into a larger end than one. You know, it's beyond yourself. And I think that most people experience their sexuality within, you know, the confines of their two ears, you know, it's in their mind, it's in their head. And then when they're engaged in a relationship, it becomes public. And that's where this challenge gets played out about what am I feeling and thinking and how do I really negotiate that with the world. And I think that's where the issues come up.
Where do you start as a parent? When your son or daughter is born, do you start compiling a list of the most difficult questions that your parents couldn't answer for you or that you would want your kids to ask you?
Oh, I think you start where you started a few moments ago before we got to this question, which is you just deal naturally and authentically. I think that's the most compelling message for the kid. You know, when they're touching, you know, when the 2 or 3 year old is touching himself or herself and it feels good and it's kind of a self-soothing experience, some would even call it masturbation, you need to respond in a way which is not frightening to the child and say, you know, don't touch there or that's no good or don't be a bad boy or bad girl, because those are where the very initial messages are communicated about what's fair game communication with mom and dad and what's not. And it's those natural situations, you know, parents will watch shows with their kids and there'll be sexual activity going on the television and sometimes nothing is said, but obviously things are felt. And is it okay to talk about it? And do parents take on those opportunities or the moments? In our culture today, with the news as it is, every time you turn around, there's a message that's coming in about something that involves an appropriate or inappropriate sexual behavior. And those are all teaching moments. And I think our responses in those moments are the ways in which our kids get messages, if they can trust us, if we're really open, if we're honest. And if they can come with their own confusion and their own privacy, and going back to that Somerset Maugham quote, things that they're not necessarily sure about or proud of.
1-888-463-6748 to the phones we go for John Sherban and Lou. You're on the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com. Welcome.
Hi. I have 2 young kids, a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I have to say I'm kind of skeptical about talking to preschoolers about sex, but can you just explain how I would even do that? I mean, I don't even know where to start with something like that. That's kind of like...
Flashcards! Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, I don't think you want to do it from your head. You know, I think you want to do it from what the kid is naturally experiencing. So, you know, what is normal? Well, again, we were talking about tickling and hugging. And so you can talk about those things that you're probably involved in. I would hope that you're, you know, you're hugging your kid and you're kissing him. You could talk about this is the way, this is touch that mom and dad can do and what's proper touch and how can you touch other people. So I think you start with those things that are right in front of your face. I don't think you move from the head. I think any of us who think about an ominous conversation of the big sex talk or the birds and the bees, you have to be filled with anxiety. I don't think you want to move in that direction. And that's not to say that you don't have a very focused conversation on some specific discussions with a, you know, an adolescent or, you know, your young adult, whatever. But it does mean that you deal with what's right there. So I think it wouldn't be this, as you're saying, sex talk with a three-year-old. I mean, that sounds disturbing.
I've never heard it put that way before. Don't move from the head.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the hugging and the kissing, obviously, for a youngster.
Experiences, exactly.
Okay. Lou, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Thank you very much for your call. Continuing our conversation, don't move from the head. What can you expect from your kids at certain ages? Let me throw some ages at you. Three. It's kind of a follow-up to Lou's question.
Okay, you know, again, hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, very good. Well, I think you're dealing with, you know, basic toiletry, you know, so it's how to use the toilet, becoming aware of the genitals,
mm-hmm.
becoming aware of, like, the proper names, what does feel good, what doesn't feel good. You know, a kid at the age of three is already, you had mentioned the word moral, they're already learning about what's right and what's wrong. And this is going to be a little different for each family. But you might be teaching your children about what you think is right and wrong and how we cover our body and maintain privacy and develop a sense of our own business from another person's business and what we do that's not proper with another person. But you don't want to be shaming your child. You don't want to be, as we were using the example earlier about saying a certain part of the body is bad,
mm-hmm.
or don't touch that. You know, you don't want to be criticizing your children if they make a mistake around something, like they touch themselves sexually in public. You might just want to gently direct them. So I think it's, again, using, when I said you don't want to start from the head, you want to start from life, because I think that's much more compelling and much more immediate, and it shows the power of your message.
And it's all innocent playtime at that age, isn't it?
Yeah, clearly for your three-year-old. I mean, you know, and the idea of sex being dangerous becomes already a subject that, mm-hmm. you know, if you're involved with preschool and such, you may need to move in on. So there are already those topics of anxiety and fear for parents, much less for kids, and you do need to kind of set the stage, but you know, doing this in a way which won't be frightening, but which will be giving them some, again, power. You want to be able to tell them that you are there to talk with them about anything that doesn't feel quite right, and you want to move in on these subjects, but in a way which empowers them, not which frightens them.
Now let's get to the first dangerous age.
Okay.
Five.
Why do you
kindergarten?
Okay, because they're going to be with other kids.
Things change, or do they?
What do you think's coming on it in kindergarten that becomes very challenging?
Well, they become mainstream kids. Unfortunately, we all know as parents, our kids grow up too fast, and mm-hmm. you know, at three, it's kind of like to me, it's kind of like, hey, everything is kind of like innocence as an infant, which I think is great. You get to be a kid, and there's less time of it today. That aside, once you start getting into formal education, mm-hmm. where parents register kids for preschool these days, any changes from your standpoint?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think that investigative quality is going to get out there more. There's going to be more exploration, and maybe that game of nurses and doctors that you talked about earlier might be taken on. Investigating, and it's pre-sexual, so how unfortunate it would be, and I think I have some discussion in there with some humorous cartoons as well, but you know, in the book, but the point is that you don't want to be making a child who's exploring feel bad either about the exploration or about his body or his question. But you want to be, again, providing guidance. So, you know, it's pretty natural to be a kid at 4 or 5 and try to figure out, like, how does this work? And so preschoolers don't need to be criticized for their curious behavior, but they need to be given boundaries, learning a sense of respect and privacy for others. And they're going to be already, you know, especially with our own culture, moving into roles. And there's going to be a sense of boy behavior and girl behavior. And maybe the boy wants to play with dolls and to be able, you know, to do that and not to feel like they...
Is that where you're going to see that probably? No, as a psychologist, would you say that's probably where you as a parent are going to get the first sense of sexual orientation?
Oh, sexual orientation. I wasn't going to go there at that point.
I'm just wondering.
You're
because
wondering. Yeah, I don't know that I would experience
okay.
a boy's pursuit of dolls at that age or a girl's pursuit of trucks.
Okay.
To be
I'm looking for that finite. Is there a time?
Is there a time?
5 1/2, 5 3/4. But what you're saying is probably not.
I don't know that I would suggest that that would be the case at all. I think there are going to be kids, you know, on both ends of the spectrum about so-called masculine and feminine, you know, so-called identified behaviors, and they're going to be moving in directions that are going to be on both ends of that spectrum, and I think we have to be open to it, and you don't want to railroad a kid and make a kid feel like he's got to be, as you said, socialized, because I think what you were saying about 5-year-old in school is that all of a sudden now he's got to be, you know, kind of the fitting into the expectation of the society or getting a sense of stereotypes. And you don't want to play into that. At least I wouldn't.
1-888-463-6748. John Sherbin, our guest on the Dave Baum Show. Kathy, you're on the Baum Show. Welcome. Nice to have you aboard.
Hi. Thanks for having me. My question concerns the availability of online porn. I never really had much of a problem with the concept of porn, you know, when it was a little harder to come by. You had to be an adult and go to the store, you know, an adult store and get it, and it was something that, you know, adults could keep relatively segregated from their children. But, you know, even with, you know, controls on a computer and all sorts of filters and things, it's still, I would think, alarmingly easy for little kids to accidentally even access porn. And I'm wondering how that affects their sexual precociousness, maybe, or maturity. How does a parent explain what could be disturbing pictures to a child that sees it accidentally online?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that is a disturbing reality that some parents these days are even placed into. And how do you explain to a child that's been brought before a picture of, let's say, some XXX activity, which seems to be what you're describing, some very heavy sexualized behavior? It's not just a naked body, which you could probably easily say that person's naked and that we wouldn't want to look at that, or, you know, to give him some direction. But in this case, maybe actually seeing some behaviors that are disturbing, I think I would stay with the kid. I think, again, many of us move ahead with our own projections and our own fears and anxieties, and we start asking and answering our own questions. But I would ask, you know, what did you see or what happened, and try to respond to your child's question, rather than fill in a sense of what the impact was, because oftentimes kids will just say that was weird, or why were they wrestling naked? You don't know what their take is on the situation. So I think overwhelming them with your own anxiety potentially and bringing them into a conversation which is beyond their imaginings would probably be more unhelpful than helpful.
Kathy, how difficult or realistic do you think that would be for a parent like yourself?
Well, no, I think he's absolutely right. You know, we're probably transferring our own anxieties about what the image is onto a child who might not really be processing it.
They might think it's silly or something, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
But on the other hand, if they, you know, got frightened, you know, I would just, you know, deal with whatever that concrete fear was, and I would try to stay with their own experience of it.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
The Dave Baum Show continues with John Sherbin. What's Love Got to Do with It? One or two more ages in the chronology of what's going on. Age 11,
mm-hmm.
we've come from 3 to 5 to 8 to 11. What changes?
Well, you know, here you're already talking about probably puberty for many kids these days, particularly girls
mm-hmm.
are getting, you know, into their body changes earlier, and boys, too. And a lot of this is affected by the culture, I think. You know, I don't know if it's the diet and the culture or both, but kids seem to be getting older younger, and the conversations are often ahead of them. But you definitely want to be moving into some of the details about body changes, and you at best, you know, someone had asked earlier about the sex talk, and I had made a comment about not getting too intellectual about it. You know, they're going to get the anatomy. They're going to have some of that basic stuff in their
yep.
classes. And I don't know if that's where they're needing the help. It's what happens with their own body and their own feelings.
As a parent, though, how do you avoid embarrassment? This is a tough age to me as a dad. I have three
sure.
daughters.
Okay.
At 11... How does any parent, I can't speak for sons, never had any, but as I said with daughters, how do you avoid embarrassment, father to daughter, about, I know what you're going through.
Like menstruation?
Type of conversation. I can recall in with my own daughters, I thought I would be cool and hip, so what I did was... I bought them each at their own time
yeah.
a Judy Blume
mm-hmm.
novel and gave it to my daughters and said, I know this is an exciting part of your life and that you're growing up into a young woman. I did it. I felt kind of embarrassed to do it. I did it. I got through it. But I'm kind of wondering now, all these years later, how do you avoid embarrassment, especially in this father-daughter relationship?
Dialogue. Okay. Well, you know, I'm not familiar with the specific book that you gave her and the whole story, but I would probably want to read the book with her. I don't know if that makes sense, but I would want to be with her. You know, like I've had a mother was talking to me on another show a few weeks back, and she was saying that she watches Grey's Anatomy with her 11-year-old. Grey's Anatomy is pretty... up there when it comes to the sexual activity that's going on with the surgeons
uh-huh.
on the show. I don't know if you ever watched the show.
No.
Okay. Well, they're pretty active sexually. Okay. So I asked her, you know, she was saying that, you know, she...
I'll mark this down. Grey's Anatomy, huh?
yeah. Okay. So, you know, here they are and they're watching the show, but there's no exchange, you know, and this is the mother-daughter. Now, I have a 9-year-old daughter and I have, a 13-year-old daughter, and I have a 12-year-old son, and sometimes we'll watch some of those shows, and sometimes before we know it, you know, more than I'm wanting to be on the television is in front of me, okay? So it's interesting to see the reactions, of course. That's
so what do you do if you're watching with your two daughters a show like Grey's Anatomy, and,
right.
You know, there's a lot of
heavy-duty...
What do you do? Do you say, hey, kids, during the commercial break, I'll explain it to you?
Or I might stop it, and today with our television, put it on hold. You know?
What do you do?
Yeah, we guys should put it on hold. Well, listen, I you know, the 9 and the 13, that's a pretty big spread, but I certainly will have the... You know, so the 9-year-old might feel overwhelmed with it, and she'll just turn her head and say, I don't like all that, you know, and it's because she's not ready for all that. But the 13-year-old's probably more than ready for it, okay?
Uh-huh.
So I would definitely want to have a conversation and would engage in that conversation with my kid and let them know that these subjects I'm game for. And, you know, my kids have managed it differently. Some of them will send me notes and tell me about things that they did, saw, or heard that they don't especially want to have a full-length conversation about in front of everybody or even
mm-hmm.
alone yet. But maybe we can talk about it when you're ready. You know, so you kind of set up whatever the telegraphic communications are, but you want to have the doors open and let them know that you're open in a way which is not imposing, because you don't want to be, as we were saying earlier, kind of ahead of them and kind of overwhelming them. If the 9-year-old needs to turn her head because too much is going on, you certainly need to respect that. And maybe at a right time you need to ask, you know, what were you feeling or what were you thinking about? Oh, I don't like all that, you know, that kissing and stuff. Okay, well, maybe, you know, that would possibly make sense. But it may also be, you know, that a parent told me that her 7-year-old was on the bus and, you know, they were hearing these older kids talking about kissing. So the 7-year-old, in that totally experimental manner, the boy and the girl that were there said, did you ever kiss? No. Did I ever kiss? No. So, well, let's kiss and see why everyone's talking about it, you know. So then they kind of, you know, and then it was pure experiment, pure exploration. And the mother said, you know, she didn't want to tell me about it, and it was, but she did because she couldn't sleep and she was feeling bad because it was probably something wrong. But, you know, you definitely want to have those doors open so that there isn't a sense of loneliness again, or feeling bad about something. But even if a mistake is made, that, you know, we're going to get through this because mistakes are part of learning. But going back to that study I'd mentioned that I'd done with Dr. Phil, mm-hmm. you know, most people were talking about learning about sex through trial and error. Well, trial and error is a very poor way and a very potentially dangerous way to learn.
These days, trial and error takes on a much more important and, as you pointed out, sometimes very dangerous aspect, doesn't it? We'll take a pause on the Baum Show with John Sherban. What's Love Got to Do with It? Sexual orientation. Something that years ago wasn't an issue, certainly wasn't publicized as much as it is today. And as part of our society, it's an open part of our society today. How does a parent talk to kids about sexual orientation? It's all part of the Dave Baum Show on TalkZone.com. We'll be back.